Today we are looking at the sport of goalball, a game which was created for visually impaired people, and it's gone from humble beginnings to a Paralympic sport. Clive Spencer is chatting with us on how he brought the game to the UK. Tell us first of all, for those who aren't familiar with goalball, how is it played?
Well, it's an indoor game played on a court the size of a volleyball court, using a very large ball, a little tiny bit bigger than a basketball, weighs quite heavy, and the object of the game is to try and get the ball past the three players at the other end in order to score a goal. We call it being thrown, but generally the ball is rolling along the ground or bouncing along the ground to get to the other end. And just like football or rugby, the team that scores the most goals is the winner.
Okay, so it was designed for people with visual impairments. That's people who are blind and people who are partially sighted, but those who have sight, they have to wear eye masks just to cover up?
That's right, just to make it an even playing field, they wear eye shades, yes. They were originally like sleep shades that you'd use on an aeroplane, then they became adapted ski goggles, and now we have purpose-made goggles specifically for goalball.
So how did you come across the sport yourself?
We had a contact from the RNIB. It goes back to 1978, so it predates any of the sport-specific organisations for the visually impaired in the country. But the RNIB had a sport and recreation officer, and the invitation came to him and was passed on to us to participate in the very first World Goalball Championships, which were to be held in Austria. So at the time I was teaching PE at a school for the visually impaired, New College, Worcester, and we were invited to take a team to Austria. So that's how it all started. We hurriedly got some students from the college and a couple of adult players from outside, and off we went.
How successful was the trip? Because this is the first time you've ever played the game.
Well, exactly, yes. I mean, one of the issues was it was the first time there'd been an international event, and the interpretation of the rules differed from country to country. So we spent quite a long time at the beginning of the championships actually discussing what rules we should play to. But it was a start, that was the point. One or two of the teams, especially the Central European ones, Austria, Germany, had been playing for some time and knew what the game was all about. It was a big learning experience for us.
So you came back to the UK after this competition. Did you think this is something which would work well in the UK? This is something which we could develop?
Absolutely that. It was the beginnings of the sport in the UK, and quite quickly after we returned, we were able to get clubs, different parts of England at the time, to start playing and having competitions, one-off competitions organised by those particular clubs. I mean, they were based at the time in Manchester and Nottingham and London, and it quite quickly got off the ground. The other way that it developed too was through the schools, so we were able to introduce it to the other schools which existed for the visually impaired at the time, and many of which are no longer with us, and that's how it all started. It just blossomed from there, really.
Were people really receptive to the game, or was it a bit of a challenge to get teams together?
It was quite a challenge, I think, because it's not a thing you can just, as an individual, say, well, I'm going to play, because you need a couple of mates to join you, which is one of the reasons that within the schools it was one of the best ways to develop. There was some resistance because people saw it as a sport which was specifically for the VI, and they would rather have been playing a game which they could feel was integrated in some way, so playing soccer or going swimming or doing athletics, mainstream sighted sports. So there was some resistance to it. I think the other resistance came from the fact that at the time the men's game played with a very large, heavy medicine ball that was weighing 2 kilograms and was a fairly slow game at the time. And since then, it's a much more dynamic experience.
And it has come on leaps and bounds, not just within the UK, but globally as well, with teams
absolutely,
popping
yes.
up. Yeah.
It's every continent now plays, from South America to all parts of Asia and Australasia and obviously within Europe.
Did you carry on your involvement in the game for quite some time?
Yes, I did. Yes, I carried on coaching a little bit of the men's team. But quite early in the mid-1980s, we had a refereeing system was introduced internationally. So I qualified as a referee, and my greatest involvement over the period of time, over the decades, has been as an official refereeing games rather than as a coach.
Indeed, the game has progressed as well. It's now a Paralympic sport. So do you think that stigma has left it, you know, that whole, it's a blind sport, I don't want to play that. Do you think it really has integrated now?
Yes, I think so, because sighted people are able to join in, not internationally, but in our national tournaments, sighted players are able to play using the eye shades. It very quickly became a Paralympic sport, incidentally. I mean, going back to before those first World Championships, there was an event in 1976, which would have been the Montreal Olympics. They weren't actually called the Paralympic Games then, but there was an event in Toronto, which was a multi-disability event. So there was, going right the way back to then, in quotations, a Paralympic involvement.
Do you think it was boosted as well by, and I'm going to go back to London 2012 here,
yep.
you had the Royals coming along and watching the yep. games, you know, not just coming to open the games, but they were there watching the goalball matches.
Yeah, it just developed beyond all previous expectations, really. And London 2012 here was a massive boost for a number of Paralympic sports, but especially goalball. When I mentioned I'm going to go and to a goalball tournament, 20, 30 years ago, people would have said, what's that? Whereas now you mention goalball and people have actually heard of it.
It's still a very important game to continue to promote, because we obviously talk about sport and inclusion, but you know, you get so much more from the sport than just say that the fitness sort of thing, the competitiveness, there's a whole benefit for blind and partially sighted people in terms of maybe their confidence, independent mobility, that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yes. It's that confidence to move within space, that sort of orientation, that ability, and it can carry over then into your regular daily life. It's building a confidence. And that's why I felt when you came back in 1978, it was a good experience for school-aged children to develop that confidence in movement.
What would you say then to encourage people to take up the sport?
Have a go. The sport is now administered in the UK by an organisation called Goalball UK. And if you're able to get in touch with them, they have various opportunities. If you're an organisation, they'll come along and give you a have a go at it, to experience the game and see what it's like.
Indeed, Zach, do get in touch with them and increase the popularity of the sport. You can also go to British Blind Sport's website, britishblindsport.org.uk, and you can search your local area for information on goalball teams. For the moment, though, to Clive, thanks very much for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No problem.